from Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Vicarious Atonement, Parshat Chukat. If we look in the beginning of our parsha, we see what could be described as vicarious atonement. Vicarious atonement meaning that one person suffers or dies, and that atones for someone else. Generally, we associate this with Christianity and their founder. However, there is Rashi Gemara, based on our parsha, which seems to talk about vicarious atonement. Amar Rabami. Gemara says in Moed Katan 28a, regarding our parsha, why is the parsha of Miriam, section about Miriam's death, why is it right next to the section about the paraduma, the red heifer? To show you that just as the red heifer atones, so does the death of the righteous atone. Rabbi Lazar adds another point. Why is the death of Aaron associated with changing of priestly clothes? Just as priestly clothes, the garments of the high priest, they each atone for different things, as the Gemara in Erechin recently described in Daf Yomi, so too, the death of the tzaddikim, of the righteous, also atones as well. So this Gemara seems to say that the death of Miriam atones like a sacrifice. But looking at it more carefully, we say, wait, it's not comparing it to a sacrifice, it's comparing it to the red heifer. The red heifer, the paraduma, is a dubious sacrifice. It's not brought inside the Beit HaMikdash. It says kapara, it says atonement, but what does it really atone for? So some have suggested it atones for like the golden calf, national sins. So the death of Miriam atones for national sins, not necessarily for personal ones. So if we're looking for someone to personally atone for my sins, I don't know if we can point to Miriam or Aaron. Aaron is compared to the priestly garments which atone for certain character traits. It's sort of a broader point than a particular sin. So, is this a source for vicarious atonement? Maybe in the communal sense, not necessarily in the personal sense. Interesting to note, the Talmud in Yuma at the beginning says, Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Aaron be'achav nisa meitav, lamu mazgim tazim yom ha-kippur, el mechashuk shem yom ha-kippur, mechaper al-Yisrael kach, mitazim al-Zadikim, mechaper al-Yisrael. That, why, if the sons of Aaron died on at Nisan time, how come when we read the Torah reading and we learn the laws of Yom Kippur in Parshat Achrimot, we talk about the death of the sons of Aaron? Because it wanted to juxtapose the death of the sons of Aaron, who are righteous, basically, kind of, to Yom Kippur. Just as Yom Kippur atones, so is the death of righteous sons. Interesting take on sons of Aaron, that they were actually righteous. What about Moshe? So if Aaron can atone, and Aaron's sons can atone, and Miriam can atone, what about Moses? It's very clear. Vayitaber Hashem bi lamanchem. Moshe says in the beginning of Deuteronomy that God was mad because of you. He was mad at me because of you. So I had to die. I couldn't bring the Jews to Israel because you sinned. If you're looking for another source, Psalms 106:32, the Jews sinned at the waters. Vayera leMoshe b'Avram, and then Moshe suffered because of them. It was the Jews who did the wrong thing, and Moshe suffered as a result. Not the simple reading of our Parsha, but that's what it says in Tehillim. Another interesting verse, 57:1 in Isaiah, says, Ki mipnei ra'ah nesaf ha-tzadik. It's because of the evil that people do that the righteous dies. So Rashi says, no. It's not that I do something bad and then the other fellow dies to atone for my sin. No. The death of the righteous forestalls further death. It doesn't atone, it prevents further punishment. Rashi says, because of the bad, the evil which is destined to arrive for the Jews, the generation, that's why the tzaddik is destroyed, which is why he dies, so that the bad things won't happen to the Jewish people. So, again, Rashi reads the vicarious atonement out of that verse. Speaking at this time of year, we're getting ready for Shabbat, Sabbat, Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz, where all those things were broken, the tablets were broken, the walls of Jerusalem were broken, so many other things. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah 18b compares and contrasts the four biblical fasts. The Torah says in Zechariah that there are different fasts. Fast of the fifth, that's Tisha B'Av, fast of the fourth, That's Shabbat Sefer Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz, destruction of the walls of the temple. Going back, you have the 5th of the 10th month, that's Aser B'Tevet, the 10th of Tevet. And then you have the fast of Gedalia. So the walls were sieged, the walls were broken, and the temple was destroyed. And the fourth one is that Gedalia died. Gedalia was assassinated. What is Gedalia, the death of a righteous, what does it have to do with the destruction of the temple? So the Gemara says, Lamedcha teaches, Sheshekula misasan shatadikim kisreifas beis elokim, that the death of the righteous is equal to the burning of our holy temple. So we see one of two possible things. Is it saying that the death of the righteous is like a temple? Or no, that the tragedy of the death of a righteous is like the tragedy of the death of a temple. And maybe we could say that the destruction of a temple atones, because instead of being punished ourselves, the temple was destroyed. Instead of destroying the Jews, God destroyed the temple, the Eitzim Bavonim. And so too, when the righteous are killed, maybe we don't get killed. So there might be room for vicarious atonement there with Gedalia, but not necessarily. But then everyone's favorite topic, especially if you're a missionary, trying to convince people about a different religion based on Isaiah 53. You love Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 talks about someone who's very great, and he's also very despised. He has a lot of pains. He, Nivzeh, nobody thinks anything about him. As my teacher, Shalom Karmi, pointed out, I don't know, it doesn't sound like a founder of any religion. It's someone very, you know, sort of an underdog kind of a person. And he bears our sins, chalayenu, our sickness, he bears it. Machovenu svalam, our suffering, he bears it. Sounds like vicarious atonement. And we thought that he was nagua mukai Elohim, we thought he was afflicted by God, but actually he was carrying our sins. Mechulal mipshenu, we interpret to mean he was wounded, or he was defiled by our sins. Christians see something about the cross there, whatever it is. Meduka, he was downtrodden because of our sins. And Hashem Evgiyabod Avon Kulanu, he visited the sin of all of us on him. Sounds like vicarious atonement, verse after verse. He says he was brought to slaughter like a sheep. It's interesting. Doesn't open his mouth. And mipesha ami negalamo, because of the sins of the people, he has afflictions, etc., etc. I don't know, Tom, we use ball, he carries our sins. Every verse talks about vicarious atonement. V'huched rabim nasa, he carries the sin of many. So what's going on? Who is this talking about? Who is this thing, this entity, this great one, who's also despised one, who carries the sins of everybody? So look at Rashi, great commentary. He says, he's not respected. Who is this? He says it's referring to all of Israel as one person. It's a metaphor for all the Jewish people. The Jewish people are very great. We're also very despised. It fits well. It says that he bore the chastisements that of everyone else. He says, because we get the affliction to bring peace for the whole world. The Jews bring afflictions on themselves. God brings it on them to bring peace for the whole world. And he does acknowledge that the Jews bear the sins like the righteous bear the sins, as we said before, Parshat Chukah. Now, Ibn Ezra is more unsure about it. He says, it could be somebody who's Jewish. There's somebody who's a servant of God. That's how the chapter starts off, as a servant of God. Could be a Jewish person. No reason for it to be any particular Jewish person. If you know somebody who suffered and they're also great, it could be applied to them, could apply to anybody. And, or it could refer to all of Israel, as Rashi says. The Radak, Rabbi David Kimchi from Provence, he has an interesting take. He says, wait a second. Ezekiel the prophet says, Lo yimtu avod abanim. Children cannot die for the sins of the parents. So if even a child who is just like his father, and he has so many of the characteristics, if he can't die for his father, and if a father who wants to die for his son can't do it, the sins of the child don't go on the father, then some stranger can bear the sins for other people? There's no such thing. What about the verse in Isaiah, in Jeremiah? not in Jeremiah, but written by Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations, Eicha. Avotenu chatu veinam. Our fathers sinned. They're not here anymore. And we have to suffer for their sins. He says, that's easy to explain. We know the rabbis have an explanation. That is, if my father was righteous, and I'm righteous, fine. My father was wicked, and I'm righteous, I'm not going to suffer, as Ezekiel said. If my father was righteous, and I'm also sinful, then God says, oh, you're also sinful. So you get the sins from your father, and also you get your own sins. But generally speaking, you can't just get random sins from your father. So what's going on over here? What is this chapter? It's all about vicarious atonement. The answer is a very clever answer, and it reads well in the text. The chapter is not about actually someone carrying someone else's sins. It's the perception of the Gentiles. The Gentiles look at the Jewish people and they say, I know the Jews are so great, but they're so despised. Oh, they're despised. I thought they were despised because they were so bad. That's why we treated them so badly. But actually, they're despised because they're carrying our sins. So think the Gentiles. Actually, it's not true. And actually, the Jews were very loyal to God. They were tested, they were tried, and despite their suffering, they remained loyal to God. They're servants of God. That's how the chapter begins. And the Gentiles turn and they say, oh, we're the ones who deserve all that stuff. And the Jews were just being loyal to their God. It wasn't like the early Catholic Church tried to explain that, you know, the Jews are so downtrodden because they're so sinful. Rather, the Jews were tested over the centuries and they bore what should have been the sins of others. They bore their own sins and eventually they'll return to the land of Israel as they have begun in our own day. So, if someone says, well, Isaiah 53, it's gotta be that God suffers for our sins. You say, wait a second. It says in Deuteronomy that there's no image to God. So, God can't suffer in that physical kind of way for us. Number two, we don't need someone else to suffer for us. We have Yom Kippur, we have atonement, we have tshuva, we have repentance, we have vehicles for atonement. In fact, the Jewish people might be the source of atonement for all other people, if you read the chapter in this way. Because after all, many times in Isaiah, in these chapters, the servant is Israel, is the Jewish people. Now, according to Rashi, there could be some vicarious atonement in our parsha and other places, but according to Radak, there is no vicarious atonement, not even fathers for son, son for father. So certainly not for others. And you would have to explain other sources along the route of what we were talking about before, that Miriam atones for the sins of the nation, not of an individual. Moshe bore some of the sins of the nation, not for the individuals. And that, as of course, Isaiah 53, it's just a perception of the Gentiles, but it's not actually true. So this fascinating topic of the vicarious atonement, there's some source for it. Perhaps Gentiles got the idea from us. There's also strong possibility that we've misunderstood the idea of a vicarious atonement. Really, atonement has to take place within the individual and God, and there may be no vicarious atonement at all, according to Radak. An interesting question, an interesting topic, and we thank you for joining us here at the Bethel Meth Congregation to discuss it. Join us each week for the discussion of the Parsha, the holidays, and thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.